the internet. Stand up! Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our big African football story from the weekend is South African billionaire Patrice Motsepe being elected president of CAF, the sport's continental governing body. Clyde Tu is a Johannesburg-based African football analyst. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Clyde, what's been the reaction among South Africans to Motsepe's election?
The reaction from South Africans with regards to Patrice's election has been incredible. I think a lot of us, a lot of people in the country agree that South Africa has a bigger role to play in African politics, sport and everything. And for over the years, South Africa seemed to be self-isolating. And I think with Pizzo moving to coach Al Ahly and now Patrice going on to take over CAF, it is a sign that South Africa is rising to the occasion. South Africa is taking up its place as leaders of the continent. And it's not a surprise that Patrice got elected, and a lot of people are really elated. They're looking forward, see what he can bring. We know him as a businessman, things that he can deliver, things that he can do in business space. He's an incredible human being, an incredible leader, and I have no doubt that he will do well at CAF.
Patrice Motsepe, the new president of the Confederation of African Football, in his speech, called for unity as he seeks to fix the troubled organization.
It's a huge honor and a huge privilege for me, and also thank my brother Gianni for the vision and the encouragement of unity. We can only deal with the challenges of Africa, and we will succeed, but we will only do so when we are united.
Do you think he can achieve this?
Can Motsepe unite Africa and take African football forward? My answer will be definitely he can. It's up to other people from the rest of the continent to decide if they want to come to the table. Motsepe is an open leader. He's a leader that wants to include everyone. And I believe if you also look at the history of South Africa outside of sport, it has always been about inclusion. It's never been about segregate other people so that we can achieve something. And I think that's where Motsepe gets his principles, to say that to achieve or to build anything worthwhile, you need each and every piece available for you to build. And when you talk about pieces in terms of African football, you need all the different regions, the different countries, and all the different kinds of people that have always been leaders in football. They need to come into the table. But because when you look at it, Motsepe has a track record of a very successful businessman. And if you think about it, if he approached any business and he said, guys, African football needs you, I don't see any business feeling a bit insecure. And him not being part of the previous executives that have failed, that have done other terrible things towards African football, gives him that edge to say, this here is a new, fresh perspective. Someone that hasn't been part of the previous failures, somebody who's coming and starting on a clean slate. And that appeals to me if I was a private business and looking to put money in football. If somebody said, here is a successful businessman like Motsepe, a billionaire. I think a lot of people in all over Africa, and South Africa in particular, have been saying that finally there is a billionaire at the helm of African football, who doesn't need money from football. So he's definitely not coming in to loot, but coming in to lead.
Motsepe also pledged to increase prize money for CAF organized competitions.
Prize money for winning the Champions League, we've got to increase it. And we can increase because we can pay the players more, and we can use some of that money to help us with the transport and all of the other expenses. So we've got to increase the prize money.
What's your take on this?
You know, a lot of South African clubs have been accused of not taking CAF competition seriously, and it was understandable. The reason was because the money that you get from participating in these competitions wasn't worthwhile. The only time you get to make the money that you're trying to make as a business, not just as a football club, because truth is, right now, football is a business. So the only time you got to make that kind of money was based on you going on to win the Champions League. And not all clubs from South Africa have the capabilities, have the squad, have the mental toughness to go on and win the Champions League. Now you start asking yourself, is it really worth it? Or can I just focus on the domestic competitions, because they are very lucrative. It's a lot of money to win South African local competitions as compared to CAF competitions. And I say this because the traveling costs will be less than that of traveling around Africa. And when you travel around Africa, you know, the costs are inflated, because sometimes you need to go in and connect via Europe to be in another African country. So perhaps that's another thing that you will need to fix. Relook at the format of the CAF Champions League. See if there is a way to reduce as much costs as you can to get more teams to participate as well, and be competitive as well. But I think when it comes to him increasing the money in CAF competitions, definitely I believe with his stature that he appeals to corporates, so there will be money coming into CAF, then it will become easier to plow it back into football, into these competitions. It's very important to have a lot of money in these competitions. That way it will grow our football, because we can't keep playing for peanuts. We really can't keep playing for peanuts. To make clubs competitive and be able to bring players from other leagues, to bring players from Europe, for instance, instead of us as Africa to keep sending players to Europe, it's about time other continents like Europe start sending their players this side. And for them to do that, we must have a high level of professionalism. We need to have lucrative competitions like the CAF Champions League. Players from all over the other continents must want to play in there because there's money.
That's African football analyst Clyde Tu. And Clyde spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Clyde Tu, an African football analyst. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The boxing world is mourning the death of Marvelous Marvin Hagler, one of the sport's greatest middleweight champions. Douglas Mpuga reports.
Boxing legend, former undisputed middleweight world champion, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, has died at the age of 66. The American dominated the middleweight division from 1979 until his controversial defeat by Sugar Ray Leonard in April of 1987. Hagler took part in 67 fights during his 14-year professional career. He won 62 of those, 52 by knockout, while he drew twice and lost three times. Hagler made 12 successful title defenses and famously won the classic fight known as the War when he beat Thomas Hitman Hans in April 1985.
That fight in April 1985 is remembered as one of the greatest in boxing history, as we hear now from the AP's David Schuster.
April 15th, 1985, Marvin Hagler and Tommy Hearns staged one of boxing's greatest fights. It only lasted three rounds, but it was nonstop action from the opening bell until Hearns finally was staggered along the ropes with referee Richard Steele calling a halt to the bout. The buildup was massive, with Hagler noting there was bad blood.
We didn't like each other. And Tommy, I give him a lot of credit because he came to take
Hearns did try and it was a slugfest, but the animosity was gone by fight's finish.
I have nothing against Tommy.
Both had great careers, and both are in boxing's Hall of Fame. I'm David Schuster.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Khalil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sine Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. A few personal reflections now on the late, great, marvelous Marvin Hagler, the middleweight boxing champion who died March 13th at the age of 66. Marvelous Marvin and Smokin' Joe Frazier, who died in 2011 at the age of 67, are my two all-time favorite prize fighters. Hagler and Frazier were both southpaws, and they didn't backpedal in the ring. They moved forward. They constantly pressed the attack, and they both showed so much heart throughout their careers. Marvelous Marvin Hagler learned to box in Brockton, Massachusetts, where my father grew up. Dad was a Hagler fan, too. In 1987, Dad took me and my younger brother, Ralph, to watch the Marvelous Marvin Hagler Sugar Ray Leonard super fight on closed circuit TV at an arena here in the Washington area. "You'll never convince us Leonard won that fight." In Ralphie's words, Marvelous Marvin was robbed. And I agree with Ralphie. Leonard never hurt Hagler in the bout. Marvelous Marvin, bitterly disappointed at the split decision loss, would never fight again. But he'll always be the greatest middleweight fighter of my lifetime. Rest in peace, Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bob, D.C.
In more African football news, a Nigerian striker has recorded his first English Premier League hat trick. Joining us now with that story and more European club football highlights is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Nigerian striker Kelechi Iheanacho scored a superb hat-trick as Leicester City maintained their push for a top-four finish with a commanding 5-0 victory over Sheffield United at the King Power Stadium. The 24-year-old scored for a third successive Premier League game for the first time as he met Jamie Vardy's cutback to break the deadlock, before Ayoze Perez secured a second with a fine finish into the bottom corner after 64 minutes. Iheanacho got his second from Vardy's excellent pass 5 minutes later, before his powerful shot sealed the first treble for the club. The Foxes now lie third in the table with 56 points, while Sheffield United are 14 points adrift of safety. Here's Leicester City's boss Brendan Rodgers' take on the match.
I thought we could to press the, our defending was good. You know, we're very strong. We didn't give them too much time to settle on the ball. We were aggressive. And then when we had the ball, we worked it well. First goal was a wonderful goal. Found the space well. Runners in behind. And then we just reiterated at half time. Just that, keep that simplicity in our game. Lots of short passes. Lots of combinations to work our way through and just keep them running. So, and then we get the second goal, wonderful goal by Ayo, and then like I said, you see the confidence then, and also everything, like you say, the patience, the quality, the aggression in the game was at a high level.
That's Leicester City boss Brendan Rodgers praising his side's performance after the Foxes beat Sheffield United in the Premier League. Both sides are in the FA Cup quarter-final action next Sunday, with Sheffield United travelling to face Chelsea, with Leicester hosting Manchester United. And talking about Manchester United, the Red Devils needed a Craig Dawson own goal to beat West Ham 1-0 and strengthen their grip on a Champions League place. On loan from Watford, Dawson has been outstanding in the Hammers' push for a top-four slot, but settled the contest in the wrong way at the start of the second half as he turned Bruno Fernandes' corner into his own net. The result kept United in second, while West Ham remained fifth, but do have a match in hand. United have also kept four straight clean sheets in the Premier League for the first time under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who had nothing but praise for the squad.
We started poorly, so we made it harder for ourselves, but I thought we found our composure and the quality after 15-20 minutes. It started to get better and better.
That's Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after his team secured a crucial win against high-flying West Ham. Arsenal got a measure of revenge for an early-season North London derby loss as the hosts overcame a gorgeous Tottenham goal to collect a 2-1 win over their 10-man rivals at the Emirates Stadium. Martin Odegaard and Alexandre Lacazette scored as Arsenal dominated Spurs, save for a gorgeous Rabona goal from Eric Lamela. Tottenham remained 7th with 45 points through 28 matches, 3 points off 5th place, and 8 back of the top 4. Arsenal on their part moves on to 41 points, level with 9th place Aston Villa. Chelsea's top four hopes were dented when Leeds United held them to a 0-0 draw, while Manchester City beat Fulham 3-0 with goals from John Stones, Gabriel Jesus and Sergio Aguero. The result sees Pep Guardiola's side move 17 points clear at the summit, with second place Manchester United having 2 games in hand. This weekend's Premier League action will draw to a close on Monday when champions Liverpool play against Wolves at the Molineux Stadium. The Reds have the worst record in the Premier League since the start of February, earning just 3 points from 7 games. However, many Liverpool fans will be so delighted to hear that Wolves have lost 8 league matches in a row against Liverpool. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Moving on to the French League, Nigerian international Moses Simon scored to help Nantes turn Paris Saint-Germain 2-1 as the Parisians missed the chance to go top of the French League. Despite the victory, the Canaries remain in the relegation zone after gathering 27 points from 29 outings. Olympique Lyon were seconds away from their first defeat in 5 games, but Zimbabwean forward Tino Kadewere struck late to cancel out Matthew Cafaro's opener for Rims, and it ended in a 1-1 draw. Lyon remains undefeated in 24 of their last 26 French League games. League leaders Lille also secured a 0-0 draw at fellow title rivals Monaco. Monaco now remains 7 points behind Lille in 4th, after failing to pick up ground in the race for next season's Champions League. Moving on to the Spanish League, French forward of Algerian descent Karim Benzema scored twice as Real Madrid came from behind to beat relegation-threatened Elk 2-1, keeping the champions in touch with leaders Atletico Madrid in the La Liga title race. Elk took a shock lead just after the hour mark with a bullet header from Dani Calvo, which crashed against the bar and over the line before Benzema headed home in the 73rd minute. The 33-year-old who last week struck late to grab a 1-1 draw away to leaders Atletico Madrid, then found the winner in stoppage time with a stunning strike just inside the area, lashing the ball first time in off the far post. Atletico Madrid have lost even more ground in their race to be crowned La Liga champions after laboring to a 0-0 draw away at Getafe. Barcelona back in action for the first time since going out of the Champions League last week when they take on Huesca in La Liga the Camp Nou. On to the Italian League, five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo bounced back from Champions League disappointment and speculation over his Juventus future as he planted a first-half hat-trick against Cagliari in Serie A. The 36-year-old made quick work of the relegation-threatened side, scoring with his left and right foot as well as his head in a 3-1 win. The final goal, a thunderous effort with his left foot, extends his lead to 4 atop the Serie A goal-scoring charts, with 23 goals in 23 league appearances. Lautaro Martinez headed a late winner's Inter beat Torino 2-1 to move 9 points clear the top of Serie A, while second place AC Milan missed the chance to narrow the gap to 6 points when they lost 1-0 against Napoli. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. And Prince, I think it's only appropriate to give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Nigeria and Leicester City striker Kelechi Iheanacho after he scored his first English Premier League hat trick over the weekend. Kudos to Kelechi. Here in the United States, one of the National Football League's best quarterbacks, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, has announced his retirement. The 42-year-old Brees is the NFL's all-time leader with 80,358 career passing yards, and his 571 touchdown passes rank second all-time to Tom Brady's 581. Drew Brees was also a 13-time Pro Bowl selection. In a statement at his Instagram page, Brees wrote, and I quote, "After 20 years as a player in the NFL and 15 years as a Saint, it's time I retire from the game of football. Each day I poured my heart and soul into being your quarterback. Till the very end, I exhausted myself to give everything I had to the Saints organization, my team, and the great city of New Orleans. We shared some amazing moments together." Now, one of those amazing moments came on February 7th, 2010, when Drew Brees led the Saints to their first and only Super Bowl championship. New Orleans beat the Indianapolis Colts 31-17, and Brees was named the Super Bowl MVP. Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Drew Brees, one of the greatest quarterbacks in National Football League history, who has announced his retirement at the age of 42.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. One of the most popular annual sporting events here in the USA, the Men's National Collegiate Athletic Association Championship Basketball Tournament has announced the brackets for the single elimination 68-team field. A team based in the northwest U.S. city of Spokane, Washington, earned the top overall seed. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
No surprise as number one Gonzaga got the nod as the top overall seed on Selection Sunday. Joining the Bulldogs atop the West are second-seeded Iowa, third-seeded Kansas, and fourth-seeded Virginia. Number two Baylor grabbed the top seed in the South alongside second-seeded Ohio State, third-seeded Arkansas, and fourth-seeded Purdue. Number three Illinois topped a Midwest region that included second-seeded Houston, third-seeded West Virginia, and 4 four-seeded Oklahoma State. And finally, number four, Michigan, claimed the top spot in the East, with Alabama, Texas, and Florida State rounding out the top four. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. The NCAA Men's Championship Basketball Tournament will tip off on Thursday at various locations around the United States. The competition was not held in 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The University of Virginia, seeded fourth this year in the West region, won the 2019 national title. Turning to tennis, Austrian star Dominic Thiem says he's aiming to win his second Grand Slam singles title this year, as well as an Olympic medal. VOA's Gwen Uten has more details for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. World number four Dominic Thiem achieved a lifetime goal when he won his first Grand Slam title at the U.S. Open last year. But the Austrian star has struggled since claiming his maiden Grand Slam. Thiem began this season with an early exit at the Australian Open in the fourth round. Then last week, he bowed out of the Qatar Open after a loss in the quarterfinals. He is now set to play at the ATP Dubai Tennis Championships, and the reigning U.S. Open champion told reporters the goal this year is to get back to tournament-winning form.
I think it's now a little bit of a process where I'm at to get back to the top of my game. Obviously, a lot of things changed since the US Open. Always something new after you reached your biggest goal that you ever had in your life. So after that, I guess there's always a change happen. Some things to sort out in the head, to set up new goals and everything. And I guess that I'm in the middle of that process right now. So the start of the season was a little bit difficult, still trying to find my game, to feel really 100% well again on court. But I guess that Doha was a little step in the right direction, trying to do another one here.
To date, Thiem has won 17 men's singles titles, and he hopes to not only add more titles this year, he has his eye on winning an Olympic medal as well.
I actually was lucky because last year I wasn't able to play the Olympics, but they got postponed to this year. So I hope that I can participate this year. And obviously to get a medal there maybe is one of the big targets this year. And French Open as well, as I had so good results there the previous years. So that's what I'm trying to build on. And that's when I'm trying to be at the top of my game in all aspects again.
Thiem spoke at the Dubai Tennis Championships on Sunday, the day before the start of the men's tournament, and the day after the women's final, where Spain's Garbiñe Muguruza was crowned champion. The world number nine defeated Czech Republic's Barbora Krejčíková in straight sets and brought an end to a near two-year title drought. Dubai marks the first victory for Muguruza since 2019. She now has eight career singles titles, including two Grand Slams that she won first at Roland Garros in 2016 and again at Wimbledon the following year. And with those two victories, Muguruza is the first player to beat both Venus and Serena Williams in a Grand Slam final. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. In U.S. auto racing, Martin Truex Jr. won Sunday's NASCAR Cup race at Phoenix Raceway in Arizona. The AP's Jerry Jordan reports.
Martin Truex Jr. picked up the 28th win of his NASCAR Cup Series career and the first of the 2021 season by passing leader Joey Logano on the final restart and holding him off in the closing laps at Phoenix Raceway. Truex didn't expect to run as well as he did, but adjustments made to the car by his crew made all the difference.
We took a huge swing at the car for this race. We knew, you know, what we've been doing here in the past few races wasn't good, and car didn't do anything I needed to do, so we just went to work on it.
The win was huge because it locks him into the playoffs and because Phoenix is the site of the season finale where the champion is crowned. Logano finished second for the second week in a row, and despite leading 143 laps, he couldn't run Truex down towards the end. Denny Hamlin finished third with Brad Keselowski and Chase Elliott rounding out the top five, respectively. I'm Jerry Jordan.
Thanks, Jerry.
And that wraps up the March 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.